So I want to start by asking you to think of something that happened this past week for which you are grateful. Something that happened this week that you're grateful for. I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but I actually want to ask you to share this, so I'll give you just a second to collect your thoughts. Something that happened this past week for which you are grateful. Jen?
Ryan's birthday.
Ryan's birthday. Our middle one, Ryan, turned 8.
A good friend of mine was diagnosed with cancer a few months ago. She's been undergoing serious chemotherapy, and a couple days ago, the doctor said she's cancer-free.
A friend getting a cancer-free diagnosis, that was serious.
No? One of my friends at college went to the hospital with a critical condition with pneumonia and the flu, and he actually was on a ventilator for 4.5 hours, and he made it free, which was pretty grateful.
Is he out of the hospital now, or still?
Leaving today, actually.
Leaving today. So a friend with pneumonia and the flu going to the hospital in critical condition, had to be put on a ventilator, and is off of that and going home today.
Noah's birthday.
Noah's birthday this week. Yeah. Anything else? Ellen?
A visit with a son that we don't see very often.
A visit with a son that you don't get to see very often. That is definitely a cause for gratitude.
The storm.
Yes, the storm. So for some of us, the storm was a very welcome respite. And getting kids at home. What was it for you about the storm?
Our friends lost power for days, and they stayed with us, so it was super fun.
So you got to have friends come over. They had lost power, so friends came over to stay with them, and it was just a good time together. Iris?
Is fostering twin boys, 17 months.
Yeah, so Iris is fostering twin boys, 17 months old right now. I have a picture on my phone I would show you, but you wouldn't be able to see it. So, yeah, that's something for which you're giving thanks and also maybe going a little crazy right now. But yes, I think we're definitely giving thanks with you for that. Anything else? Anyone else?
I have a new great granddaughter.
You have a new great granddaughter. What is her name?
Addison Grace.
Addison Grace, beautiful name. Congratulations. Your
first one.
Okay, well, really, congratulations then. Wow. Anyone else? Mark.
Liz and I went to the play at Conestoga. And for those of you who have been around here a while, one of the stars was Tara Moon, who Pat and I taught in twos and threes back when we did that. So she became one of the stars of the Conestoga play, and it was just wonderful.
So the Conestoga play, and seeing these kids that you've taught since they were that little, now growing up. And
I took full credit.
I saw something. Yes?
The kindness of good nurses.
Kindness of good nurses. You want to share a little more? Do you want me to? Just leave it at that? Okay. The kindness of good nurses. Thank you. Anything else?
I was just going to add that there were more than just the stars of the musical, and actually some other of our youth here in that performance and behind the scenes.
Yes. So, and Andrew was one of those behind the scenes.
Yeah. But Ed, Connor Feldman was in it.
Yep.
And Nick Pearson.
Nick Pearson.
Nick Pearson.
Yeah. So a lot of kids giving thanks for the gifts that they have. Jim?
The choir.
The choir.
I'm here and they just fill my soul with joy and happiness.
So people are grateful for you all right now. Suzanne?
It's the stock market,
bro. These are not always like deep spiritual things. Sometimes the stock market went up, and that can be a great relief and a cause of gratitude. Yes?
He's looking at me. He just said, don't even just with the storm, Mike drives a plow for Radnor Township after 19 straight hours of plowing. I was very grateful. And I prayed the entire time.
Well, and so we're grateful for your hard work out doing that, and you're grateful that he came home safe after 19 hours of plowing. That's a lot of work. Seth, I saw you.
Ruth and I were driving today coming here, and we were saying we were so thankful for you being here for us. The ministry is just incredible.
Thank you, Seth. Thank you, Ruth. Jen mentioned the one that I was going to share, too, that Thursday was our son Ryan's 8th birthday. And kind of going off of what Debbie had said too, we had a 2-hour delay that morning because of the storm that came through. So we got a little bit of extra time to be together as a family and do birthday stuff on Thursday morning. So Ryan was opening up his presents, and he was just so excited, and you could just see it on his face. Like, he would open something, his face would light up, and he would say, "I've been wanting this, thank you, thank you." And I mean, you know that it is real gratitude when you don't have to prompt an 8-year-old to say thank you. That it's, you know, we're always having to do that. What do you say? Thank you. But with this, he was just so genuinely grateful that he just couldn't help but express it, right? And that night, as I was putting him to bed, he's up on the top bunk, so I always climb up on the top bunk with him, and we prayed, and I sang him a song. And I just remember I looked down at this beautiful boy who just 8 years earlier I could hold in my hands, and now you see him up here. And I say to him, "I am so happy that you are my son. I am so grateful to God that you were born." I felt such gratitude inside of me for him that I had to express it to him. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem when he's approached by 10 lepers. They call out to him for help. He heals them and tells them to go and show themselves to the priest so that they can be certified as clean. They run off to go get their lives back. I mean, who knows how long they've been isolated out on the outskirts of town by themselves with only each other, away from their friends, their families, the rest of the community. They take off to go reclaim their lives. But one of them stops, comes back, praises God with a loud voice, throws himself down at Jesus' feet, and thanks him. He felt so grateful for this healing, this blessing, this gift that he had received, that he had to express his gratitude. Throughout Lent, we've been looking at these stories from Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, this journey to his death and his resurrection. And as we look at these, we've been asking, all right, how do we follow Jesus on this journey to new life? What does it look like for us to die to self and live under the rule and reign of Christ? And what this story shows us in a very simple way is that living under the rule and reign of Christ means living in gratitude. Recognizing and being mindful of the blessings that we have received. But living in gratitude is more than just feeling grateful for the blessings that we've received, like being aware of them. It is expressing that gratitude through word and deed. Because authentic gratitude, it is something so good that it cannot, you can't keep it to yourself. You have to find some way to express it, to say something, to do something that shows how much this means to you. How often do we forget to do that? We take the gifts in our lives for granted. Or we focus on the negative, on what's not there, and we get consumed with that. Or maybe we do recognize the gifts and we feel grateful for them, but we don't do anything or say anything to express our gratitude. But what this story shows us is that there is something transformative about that. About recognizing that a gift has been given and living in ways that express gratitude. And it is there, in that we find our calling as the church. So much of this story centers on expectations. As Jesus approaches the village and the lepers call out to him, they likely were not expecting to be healed. Now, that's not to say that they didn't believe Jesus could heal them. We see instances throughout Scripture of people coming up to Jesus and saying, "Lord, heal me," and they are healed. So they might have believed that Jesus had the power and the ability to do this, that this was possible. But when they cry out to Jesus, "Lord, have mercy on us," that is also the expression that was used to ask for alms, right, for charity. Lepers lived on the outskirts of town, away from everyone else. They couldn't work to make a living, so they relied on the charity and the goodwill of others. When people passed by, they had to keep their distance because of the disease, but they would call out to them, "Mercy, mercy," which was a way of asking for money. So when they call out to Jesus, they might be hoping for healing, or they might just be asking for money. They're basically saying, "Whatever you have to give us, we will take. We need whatever you can offer." But there's no expectation of what that's going to be. They aren't presuming anything. Mercy is an act of kindness when kindness is not expected. When Jesus does heal them, he tells them to go and show themselves to the priests. Now, this was part of a complex process of being declared clean. You could be healed of your leprosy, like the spots on your skin are gone, but then you still had to do all these other things to be certified as clean and allowed to come back and rejoin the community and take part in religious life again. So they all run off to the priest, just like Jesus tells them to. They were just following orders. They were doing exactly what he told them to do. There was no expectation of thanks on Jesus' part, because true gratitude cannot be mandated or commanded or expected. Jesus has given a gift without any expectation of return. And that is the very definition of grace. Theologian John Barclay defines grace in those very terms: a gift that is given without any expectation of return. A gift that is not earned or deserved or expected, but is given freely out of love, no matter what the other person does with that gift. So Jesus has no expectation that anyone is going to thank him. That's not why he's doing this, which is why what happens is so powerful. One of them comes back to Jesus, praises God, and thanks him. This was a completely spontaneous act, unexpected. Even more so when we hear who it was that did it. Because Luke says, "And he was a Samaritan." Now that was unexpected. We talked several weeks ago about the relationship between Jews and Samaritans. They despised each other, hated each other. Jews thought that Samaritans were unclean. They practiced their faith all wrong. They worshiped God in the wrong way, at the wrong place. There was nothing good about Samaritans. They were evil, wrong, unfaithful people that the Jewish people were forbidden from interacting with. It's written into the law. So to say that a Samaritan got it, recognized this gift, recognized God's grace, and stopped to give thanks for it, while the other nine, presumably Jewish people, did not, that is not what anyone would have expected. But we talked last week about how Luke's gospel tends to focus on the outcasts, on the people who are not included, who do not have a voice or rights, the people that the rest of society pushes aside or looks down upon. Women, children, Gentiles, lepers, Samaritans. Those are the people who matter to Jesus in Luke's gospel, the people who don't matter to anyone else. What Jesus is showing us here is that healing, mercy, this gift, grace, is available to everyone. Jesus doesn't just heal the nine Jewish people and say to the Samaritan, "Well, sorry, you know, you're a different religion, you don't believe in me, Jesus gives this gift to all of them, but they do not all respond with gratitude. Now, that does not negate the gift. The other nine who run off without thanking Jesus, Jesus doesn't take back their healing. Just like if you give someone a gift, you give a birthday present and they don't thank you, it might rub you the wrong way or disappoint you, but you aren't going to take the gift back, are you? You didn't say thank you, give me that back. In the same way, Jesus has given this gift without any expectation of anything. It is an act of grace. And ingratitude does not nullify grace. All have been cleansed, but they do not all fully recognize the gift that has been given to them. God has given us all a gift. All have been cleansed by God's grace in Jesus Christ. If that cleansing grace can be extended to a Samaritan in this story, who can it be extended to in ours? Anyone. Everyone. When Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again 2,000 years ago, it was not just for some people, it was for all people, that all of creation might be redeemed and drawn in to the grace and embrace of God. All are loved. All are forgiven. Not everyone chooses to live in that grace, in the love and forgiveness of God. All have been cleansed, but just like those other nine, not everyone recognizes the gift that has been given to them. But that does not negate the gift. Because salvation, grace, is not about what we do, it is about what God does. Human lack of faith does not cancel God's faithfulness. The church is the community of the grateful. Those who recognize that a gift has been given, and we strive to live and respond in gratitude. We are called to be that Samaritan who falls down at the feet of Christ, praising and thanking God with a loud voice. Because when we live in gratitude and model that to the world around us, it can help others recognize that they've received a gift too. And it can help show them how to respond. Jen and I started doing something at dinner time a while back. She read about this, and so we gave it a try. If she has cooked dinner, as soon as we all sit down at the table, before we do anything else, I will say, thank you for cooking dinner. If I cook, as soon as we sit down, she says, thank you for cooking dinner. And you know what happened after a while? We would sit down, and one of our kids, totally unprompted, would say, thank you for cooking dinner, Mommy. It's like they've heard this over and over again, that they start doing it. When we model gratitude to others, it can invite them to live in gratitude. That is our calling as the Church of Jesus Christ. To live in ways that express gratitude, thanking God in word and deed for the blessings, the gifts that God has poured out upon creation, so that all might come to recognize the grace of God in their lives and live in ways that say, thank you. Let's pray. For all the good gifts that you have given, Lord, for the ones that we have named here this morning, for the ones that we are carrying in our hearts and minds, we are so grateful to you. Above all, we are grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the reminder that this season brings of how he lived and died and rose again for us, that we might have new life with you and with each other. We are grateful for the life that you made possible in Christ. Help us to demonstrate that life to others, to so live in gratitude that others see it and become aware of the gift, the blessing that you have placed in their lives as well. It is so easy to get caught up in the negative or just to get caught up in the day-to-day routine that we forget to stop and give thanks. By the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, help us to be mindful. Help us to live in gratitude in ways that express it in word and deed, in concrete actions, how grateful we are to you, to each other. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for all the blessings we've known. We thank you for no other reason than that is what we exist to do, to live in ways that give you praise and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.